This morning, as I mentioned, we're wrapping up our series on Book on the Shelf, or the Book on the Shelf. Real quick, I don't know how many of you ever watch late night television or maybe like Saturday afternoon television. That's where these show up most. But have you seen, I'm sure, the insanity of the infomercial? Yes, infomercial, where you're watching and all of a sudden they begin to talk to you about this product that you can't even believe somebody took time to invent. And then the more you watch, you're like, would that even be helpful? Like, what? How would this actually, you know, like, this isn't even, what? And then the longer you watch, all of a sudden it starts to make sense. And all of a sudden in your mind, you're like, how is my life not a mess not having that perch? And all of a sudden you're like, I got to order this thing. How can I risk going another moment without having that in my possession? And so all of a sudden you find yourself picking up the phone, ordering the wax back. Because Q-tips are so dangerous, right? And there's so many things that could go wrong with a Q-tip. And so now you can just stick that thing in your ear and just suck the crud right out. Or maybe you're like, you know what? What if my fish tank did explode, right? And I didn't have the ShamWow, you know, a cloth this big to wipe up 100 gallons of water or whatever they claim. Or maybe you're a red wine drinker and maybe you tipped it over in your white robe and now you're going to have to get the OxyClean that'll get it out or whatever it would be. These infomercials, they're just sharing with us, they're just telling us the benefits of like what this thing is going to do for our lives. And they spend the whole commercial just building the case, just showing how this need, what your needs are in your life and letting you know how this product is going to revolutionize your life. Amazing. And then you get to the end and you get to this all important moment, right? Where all of a sudden the opportunity is now there. The chance for you to respond. It's just going to take a simple call. Operators are standing by, right? They are just waiting on you. The next 200 callers are also going to get the handy carrying case. I mean, it's now. They've taken the payments. They've broken them down to $19.99. Easy installments, you know, right? Forever to pay for this thing. Whatever, it's $19.99. But the entire time, right, you get to this point, there's this urgency. Like, this is going to require your prompt action right now. We are at that point in this message series. Essentially, over the last 3 weeks, in a lot of ways, I've been giving you an infomercial, talking to you about the book on the shelf, the Bible, which so often just becomes like every other book. And talking about how critical it is that we begin to take the Bible off of the shelf and begin to make it a part of our lives. We've looked at the fact of where does the Bible come from? How did we get the Bible? We've talked about why or how the Bible is unique to all other books. We looked at different types of evidences. We looked at evidence internally within the Bible and externally and historically that show us that the Bible is true. We looked at the fact that the Bible is God's story, that it's revealing to us how we can know God, how we can know his character, how we can know how God responds to individuals. It allowed us to be able to see God's plan of redemption in our lives. It shows us what we can expect from God in terms of his love. What we saw was that the view that we take of the Bible, the way that we just consider it will lead us to either taking it off the shelf or leaving it on the shelf. And then when we do take it off the shelf, the view that we have will impact how we actually read it and what we get from it. And ultimately what we said is the view that we need to take is that the Bible is God's story. And not only is it God's story, but he is inviting you and I to make it a part of our story. And to connect our story with his story. So this morning, this is the time. This is the urgent moment where you need to decide that you're going to pick up the phone and you're going to place the order and you're going to decide that you're going to allow this book to no longer sit on the shelf, but that you're going to take it down and begin to allow the Bible to transform your life. I told you last week, if there was anything that we could do as pastors that we could encourage you to do more than anything, it would be to start reading your Bible more. Not pray more, not serve more, not come to church more. All of those are important. But if you and I would read our Bible more, all of those other things will begin to happen. My hope is that the Bible will become the most important possession in your home. And the cost, it's not $19.99. The cost is a daily commitment to say, you know what, I'm going to make time for this. But you and I cannot afford to not make that commitment. So today what I want to show you is how can we begin to take the book, take the Bible off of the shelf, and not only take it out, how do we begin to make it a reality? And a bunch of what I'm going to show you doesn't necessarily feel like making it a reality, but I want to show you, like, as you read the Bible, what should you be watching for? What can you begin to anticipate as you read? What's going to jump off the page so that you can begin to see, how is this going to work in my life? As I make this investment in the Bible, as I pour myself into it, what can I expect to sort of be poured back out? And the operators, I promise you, if they are standing by, they are waiting for your call, they're waiting to take your order. And just like any good infomercial, but wait, there's more. We're not going to just offer you a lifetime guarantee. I'm going to offer you an eternal guarantee. About 3/4 of the way through the Bible, Jesus is talking, and he's talking specifically about the Word and about the Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, all the scripture is going to be on the screen behind you. It's all, or behind me. It's also on the in your message notes. But this is what Jesus says regarding the Bible, Book of Matthew. The guarantee is this: it says, "Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear." There are so many options. There are so many things for you and I to focus our attention on and our life on. There's things that we consider we dream about, things that are heavenly, things that are in heaven. There's items on earth that we value. There's items on earth that we need. And essentially, all of those things, even if they're good, those will end. But God's word, the Bible, his story, will never be destroyed. It will never cease to exist. And our days get filled with television and reading magazines and exercising and going to work and preparing for what we're going to say on Sunday morning and eating and studying for school and planning how we're going to spend our money as it comes in and activities that are fun and activities that are a waste of time. And a lot of times those are connected, and activities that are necessary and activities that are responsible. And as we consider all of those things that we do, the most powerful question that we can ask ourselves is, will that thing produce results, or will that thing itself never disappear? Are you investing in things that will last for eternity? Because God's word and what it drives us to focus on and the priorities that it gives us in life and the qualities that we develop within ourselves will never disappear. It's not just God's word that will never disappear. It's the things that it develops within us and creates in us that will never disappear. So this morning, what I want us to do is we begin to think about how do we take the book, how do we take the Bible off of the shelf and begin to make it a part of our lives. The book of Psalms gives us this advice. It says this: "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Now, those of you that are here and are like, oh, this is the religion part, right? Where it's all about the do's and the don'ts. Like, you've been thinking, this is what's coming. This is what church is all about, right? Follow the rules. Like, know the sins. Don't do these things. So you're like, okay, we're going to read the Bible so we don't mess up. So we don't sin. It just sounds like a whole bunch of work now. Just memorizing so God doesn't get mad at me and I don't sin. And break this verse down just a little bit more. What we've identified over this past month, and if you haven't been here, you just have to take my word for it, we've talked about the fact that this is God's story. The Bible is God's story, and he's inviting you and I to make it a part of our story, to connect with it. So it's God's story revealing his character, revealing his response to situations, revealing his motivations, revealing God's priorities, and it's God now encouraging us to hide all of those things in our heart, his character, his responses, his motivations, his priorities. Store those in your heart. This word hide could also be translated to store, to internalize, to greatly familiarize yourself with something. So the reason isn't a whole bunch of rules. The reason isn't so God doesn't get mad at us. The reason is so that we don't sin. So we need to also look at our definition of sin. Sin being, this is the best definition I know, any choice, any word, any action, any attitude that we take that breaks relationship with God or breaks relationship with other people. So what this verse is saying is, take the Bible off of the shelf. Spend time reading it. Spend time investing in it. Time thinking about it. Spend time talking about it. All so that you can store up, so that you can internalize, so that you can become more aware of, so that you can hide in your heart who God is, how he wants to help you, how he wants to grow in you, so that ultimately you don't break, you don't damage, you don't interrupt, you don't limit your relationship with God. It's not just read so I don't mess up. It's read so that my relationship with God stays true. And a huge aspect of us learning how to read and being able to think and being able to store and being able to hide the scripture in our hearts is that you and I would begin to know the benefits from your investment. Because as you and I know what the benefits are, as we know how what's coming out of the scripture, we know what to look for as we read it. And so unlike the stock market, or slot machines, or those big arcade things, you know, with the claw that, right, that make kids cry, because all of those have no guarantee that you're going to get anything back. The stock market, no guarantee. Slot machines, no guarantee. Huge claw, kids cry, no guarantee. We can have confidence. We need to realize that there's no time that you will invest in scripture that won't lead to a benefit. It will always produce something. And so as we read it, as we understand there's these benefits, as we look into it in the process of reading, they'll begin to grow out of it. We'll begin to see them. And the first priority or the first benefit that comes from that is power. In the book of Hebrews, it says this, "For the word of God is alive and powerful." As a youth pastor, I used to play this game with our students where I'd get like four or five of them on stage, and then I'd give each of them an Alka-Seltzer tablet. And then what they had to do is they had to take the Alka-Seltzer and they had to throw it in their mouth, each one. And then over time, like the goal of the game was to see who could keep their mouth closed the longest. And so as they would sit there, like slowly the Alka-Seltzer would begin to fizz, right? And they're like, no big deal. And then over time, the fizz would begin to blow up, right? And all of a sudden their cheeks start to expand. And then all of a sudden their eyes start to get bigger. And I'm like, oh boy. And then a little bit of fizz out the corner. And all of a sudden they look like rabid dogs, right? And it's pouring out. And then all of a sudden, and just everywhere. When you and I plan to begin to read the Bible, it will begin to produce life and power within you. It will begin to grow within you. And at first, a lot like the Alka-Seltzer, it's just a little fizz. You may not even notice it. It may not even be that strong. It may not even be that evident. But as you continue to spend time with it, the fizz will begin to grow. This positive pressure will begin to build up within you, within your heart and within your mind and within your attitudes. And suddenly there will be this power that's within you that just begins to spill over into your life. And it's way less gross than Alka-Seltzer tablets. Promise you that part. But it will begin to grow, and this power will begin to be evident in your life. And others will be able to see this power that's growing out of you, that's beginning to exude who God is as you spend time reading God's story. The second benefit that comes is healing. Psalms 107 says this, "He sent out his word and healed them." Bad news, we are all broken. We are not all broken in the same way. But each of us are broken in some way. We're either broken relationally, broken emotionally, broken physically, broken spiritually, or just broke financially, right? Like we're all broken somehow. And you could go to the bookstore and you could find lots and lots and lots of self-help books. In fact, if you go to a bookstore, it's typically the largest section in the bookstore is the self-helps. But they all depend on you. They all depend on me. They all depend on us reading it and then making changes or asking somebody to change the way they treat us. Or the book of Psalms right here is saying, listen, our hope is that God's word brings the healing. And so as we spend time, as we invest our time, as we begin to read, we expect that the word of God would begin to bring healing into our lives. You can fix issues and you can try and correct situations, but if you want true healing to happen in your life, if you want to see restoration for the parts and the aspects of you that are truly broken, if you want to find complete restoration, if you want to find healing, it comes from Scripture, because the healing that you and I need is so deep and it needs to be so thorough and it needs to be so ongoing. The source has to be something outside of ourselves, something that's greater than you and I, or we're just making simple fixes that aren't going to last. And it says he sent out his word and healed them. Next benefit is this, is that the Bible brings direction. Proverbs says this: we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. If there's a place that you've never been, but you want to go there, or if there's a place, or if there's like a skill that you want to have, but you've never performed it, or if there's something that you want to build, but you've never built it before, you're going to need to ask, or you're going to need to find, or you're going to need to be given directions to complete those things. So we can plan, we can hope, we can want to be a better dad, a better mom, a better employee, a better follower of Jesus, a better friend. You can want to be a better manager of the resources that God has blessed you with. But whatever you and I desire to grow in, wherever we want to be, we need directions and steps to know how to get there. And so we can have plans, and God can even lay plans on your heart. But you and I, we won't know how to get there on our own. And so if you want to avoid a lot of unneeded pain and missteps along the way, God has provided his word. God says, I see the plans, and now let me provide you the steps that will get you to where you want to be. And as we read scripture, we can begin to say, God, what are the steps? And it's not necessarily what are the steps, what job should I have, or do I marry this girl, or do I buy this house? But as we begin to read it, as we begin to read scripture, the steps begin to say, what should my priorities be? What should be important to me? And then we start to dive into what kind of job. And we, as God builds those different characteristics within us, then we begin to say, oh, that girl's not just cute. She's quality. Or whatever it would be, God begins to work in our lives in such a way that he gives direction. Next benefit is this: scripture brings freedom. Luke 4 says this. This is Jesus talking about what God has sent him to do. It says this. It says, he has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free. Freedom. You and I, we have circumstances in our life. We have other people's choices. We have limited physical limitations, we have our own sin. All of these things in our lives can hold us back and beat us down and tear us down. They prevent us from being able to see the future of where we're going. And the message and the purpose of Jesus, the central figure to God's story, what he's saying is that God sent me to bring a message of freedom. He's explaining, listen, I was sent for captives to be released. I was sent so that blind could see. I was sent so that the oppressed could be freed. Anybody that feels trapped could be given freedom. Jesus is offering to you and I the opportunity to be transformed so that the circumstances and the limitations of our life can be removed. And he proclaims, which means that's his word. This is God's story. This is God's word. He proclaims, he invites us to join the experience, to join him, join his story, so that we can be freed from the limitations in our life. Whether we're blind spiritually, whether we're captive, whether we're oppressed, God's word wants to set us free from that. And when we begin to store it, when we begin to hide it, when we begin to internalize God's word, those positive benefits begin to pour out. We begin to pull those things out as we read through scripture. So how do we begin to do that? Let's look for a minute at making it a reality. What does that look like? The first thing that we need to do as we approach the Bible is recognize it's God's story, right? It's God's story. Accept the invitation to make it our story. And then as we do that, we need to take on two mindsets that will allow that to happen in a greater way. And the first way, or the first mindset we need to take as we approach that, is to connect with the text. This text is alive. This text is powerful. And in order for it to have the full transforming potential that it has, we have to begin to treat scripture the way we would a friend or a relationship. The way we want those friendships or those relationships to build and grow is that we connect with one another. So we have to begin to plan, to connect with the text, to make it a reality in our lives. The book of Proverbs says this. It says, follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. I have a friend, and we were talking about just the process of losing weight, and they were explaining that as they were trying to lose weight, basically they just sort of cut out most meals, and then the meals that they were eating, they just ate almost nothing. And essentially, it wasn't leading to any weight loss. And so I began to say, you know what? What I've found when I've tried to lose some weight is if I eat more, I lose more weight. And by more, I just eat more often. So eat 6 times a day and just eat small portions. And ultimately, over time, your body goes, oh, you're going to feed me consistently, so I don't need to keep this, right? Well, let it go, because you're going to feed me again. And so we started talking about this, and the individual is listening and connecting with the thing, and they're like, oh, it sounds weird. I'll try it. So then they connected with the text and began to process and began to do that, and over time began to see weight loss, began to connect with it. They began to see the benefits of it and connected with it. The best way for you and I to connect with the Bible is to look at it, take the advice, take the instructions, see them as valuable, begin to preserve them, begin to apply them to our lives. Not just read them and walk away from them, but go, ha, okay, that says if I do this, it's going to make my life better. Why don't I try that? Why don't I see if those benefits actually work out in my life? And as we begin to look at those things and connect with the text, and I'll actually begin to do that, we'll begin to be changed, we'll begin to improve, we'll begin to say, oh, I got to go back to that thing. If it said that and it produced this, then maybe I should go back and see what it says again and let it produce something else. And then as the Bible begins to work in our lives, we begin to treasure what it says. We begin to guard what it says. We begin to protect it with greater intensity. And we begin to allow it to connect with our lives and speak to us. Problem is this. If your memory is anything like mine, I can read something in the morning, and by about 3 o'clock, I've forgotten what I read in the morning. I'm like, what was that? I was be nice to somebody. You know, like it goes. It just, right? I can't remember. There are honestly times where on a Monday, I'll run into somebody. I'll be out at the grocery store and I'll start talking to somebody. And they're like, hey, you know, yesterday, Brent, you were preaching and you were talking about this one verse. And man, it's just really impacted my life. And they sort of look like they're asking, you know, like wanting me to respond more and speak to that verse specifically. And I'm like, I have no idea what I said. I have no clue. And so what God says, his encouragement is this. If you're anything like Brent, tie a string on your finger, right? Or write it down. Write it down somewhere where you can begin to internalize it. Don't just read it and then walk away from it. Read it and connect with it. Write yourself reminders. When God pulls something off the page, don't be like, neat. Write it on a sticky note. That's why God made them. Put them on a 3x5 card. And then put them somewhere where you'll see them. Like, put it over your speedometer and then slow down a little bit. Because you're all speeding anyway. And like, save you some money too. So, like, just begin to put them places where you'll be able to see them. Maybe buy a bracelet or a necklace or something. I had a friend in college. She was like, okay, you're going off to play basketball. I know there's going to be a lot of pressure on that. And she made me this little tiny string thing that she's like, just tie that to your shoe. And then in the middle of the game or when you're tying your shoe, you'll see that thing and you'll remember the priorities, that it's not about winning and it's not about whatever. It's about what you're conveying on the court. You're still representing Christ in the middle of competition. So create some things for yourself that will connect you with the text and remind you of what you're reading. Which brings us to the next part of making it a reality, and that is to be transformed by the text. 1 John 2 says this, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's word is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. The best indication that we're becoming what God has designed us to be, the best indication that we're going to experience life to the fullest and in the most complete way is when we're becoming more and more like Jesus. And not more and more like him in terms of like grow a big beard and wear sandals and, you know, walk everywhere instead of drive a car. Not that. Not like, don't become like Jesus that. You're welcome to grow a beard if you want to, ladies. But the question is, are your priorities becoming like his priorities? Are you caring and are you loving other people the way Jesus cares and loves people? Do you make the areas of your life that get your best time the areas of Jesus' life that got his best time? Is the text becoming reality? Is the text beginning to transform who you are? Are the benefits beginning to show up in your life? Are people that interact with you experiencing an encounter with Jesus? That's when the text begins to be real. When we take it off the shelf, we begin to read it, we begin to take it into our hearts, we begin to store it, and then we allow it to transform who we are as we connect with it. That's when the Bible will continue to draw us back, and that's what will cause us, as we read it, to get things out of it. Now, you might be going, those aren't very practical. I need the practical things. Give me. So I've got just a very few minutes to give you some pieces. So we're going to get practical. Getting practical is what I said. Getting practical. Don't have a whole lot of time, so we're going to go pretty quick through this. If you have a seatbelt, I'd encourage you to put it on because we're going to fly. If I don't say something full enough or fast enough, I am going to say it fast, but if you're like, I need more. On September 9th, I did a message where we kind of broke this down even greater and kind of explained all of these more, as well as we had a guy here this summer named Keith Farron, and he did a message called How to Fall in Love with the Bible. Great messages that you can go to get all of this kind of a little bit more expanded. But here we go. Ready? Thought I was speaking fast before. Practical, getting practical. First step is this. You got to choose a Bible. Seems a little obvious, right? You got to have a Bible. There's lots of translations that you could go with. Some are easier to read than others. Typically on a Sunday morning when I'm preaching, what you see on the screen or in your message notes comes from the New Living Translation or the NLT. I find that to be a great study Bible, or it just speaks to me well. The other option that's really good is the NIV, which is the New International Version. Both great ways to just study and read. If you just want to kind of read for more of a smooth, like, book feel, story feel, there's a paraphrased version called The Message, which is great. There's no little numbers and verses. It just feels like a book. All great options. But really, just choose a Bible and start reading. If you don't have a Bible, we have a bunch at the kiosk, and we'd give you one. If it means you'd start reading it, but you got to choose a Bible. Next practical step is this. You need to set a time. You need to determine, when is it that you won't be rushed? When is it that you will be most alert? Like, if I set for 5:30 in the morning, pointless, right? When will I be least distracted? Then schedule it. Put it on your calendar. Block it out. Say, this is my time. Tell your kids. Tell your wife. Don't bother me. I'm reading the Bible. That's not a bad thing. Be slightly selfish here. If you don't make a plan, it will get pushed aside because there's so many other areas fighting for your time. This is something you have to fight for. Set a time, lock it in. Next practical step is this. Determine a place. Pick a place where you don't do anything else. So your house may not be that big and you're like, I do stuff everywhere. Find a chair, find a room, find a spot on the floor, climb in your closet. It doesn't matter. Find a spot where you don't do anything else but read and listen to God. And because that then becomes the only activity you do in that spot, when you get there, you're like, well, this is what I do. I don't pay bills here. I don't brush my teeth here. I'm not distracted. And now my routine improves. I'm able to hear God. I'm able to read his word more intently. And your ability to connect with God's story will grow, and you'll become more like your story. Next, when we're reading, is have a plan. Like, as in, know where in the Bible you're going to read. Don't every morning just go, poof, and start reading. Like, I'm going to read here, and I'm reading it for this long. And then as you're reading, decide, am I going to read for an overview? Am I going to read? Am I going to try and get words and phrases and do diagrams? Or are you going to try and read through one book for a whole month, just the same book over and over, and get to the end, start again. Read to the end, start again. Do that for a whole month. Or maybe you decide, you know what, I want to read through the Bible in a year. If you're new to this, I would encourage you, go with the read it over and over and over and over again. Because as you read it over and over and over again, things will begin to jump off the page. Things that you need to apply to your life will begin to go, oh, whoa, I didn't see that the first time. And then you grab your sticky notes that God created, you write those down, put it on a 3x5 card, and then you put it someplace where you're going to see it all day long. Lots of plans, lots of things online that could show you how to. If you're not sure, we've got some connect groups that are starting up, some study groups, where individuals are a part of those groups that can help you develop a plan. Don't do it on your own. We've got a couple groups that are designed to help you design a plan for how to read the Bible. It will take a commitment on your part to join that group, to set aside time, to cut things out of your schedule to make it work, and then you'll have to commit to following that plan. But it will be critical. Another thing as you read, read for who, read for when, read for why. Pay attention to these three large areas. Who's writing it? Who are they writing it to? Who's the audience? When did it happen? What was going on, like, in the storyline? When did it occur? Why does that particular book of the Bible claim it was written? Why does it look like it's beneficial? Why is it beneficial to the intended audience, and why is it beneficial to us now? You do not have to be a trained theologian to read for who, when, and why. And in fact, trained theologians pretty much read for who, when, and why. They just use fancy tools and procedures and act like they're better than everybody else. It's pretty much all they do, and they use big words. Not a big deal. Last practical help is this. Use outside helps. There has never been a generation that has had as many resources available as you and I have right now, and it's only going to get better. In the past, you had to have a huge library, a big wealth of books, or access to a big pile of books. The internet has eliminated that. It's available to all of us. And the internet, these resources provide background knowledge, theological insight. They'll bring historical perspective. They'll help you see how the original language, what it was intentionally aimed at. You'll begin to have contextual significance. In your notes, I've listed a bunch of websites that you can use. I mean, they're the websites that I use for my own study in terms of message prep. So you now have the advantage. You can go read those things, and nothing I say will be a shock. Well, never mind. There will be some shocks. But anything related to the Bible, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I read that. The resources, they're there. They're available to you. Take advantage of those things. There's also some books that I've listed there that'll just be helpful for you as you begin to read and study. My hope is this. My hope is that over the last month, and if you've missed any of them, jump online, is that you would be motivated, that you would see the value to no longer allow the Bible to just be a book on the shelf, like any other book, that you would begin to take it down and read it every day, begin to see that it's God's story, inviting you to connect and make your story a part of His story. Each week, we put the connect cards in there, and if you've been here much, you know that the challenge each week is to figure out what's your next step going to be. Not just hear this and go, yay, that was good, but like, why does this matter? So for you, what's your next step? Is it to select a time and a place to read each day? Maybe determine how long that's going to last each day. Maybe you need to identify the activities that most interfere with your time in God's Word. Maybe you need to tell someone you trust what your reading plan is and then ask them to check up on you. Maybe you need to join one of our Study Connect groups and allow it to increase your Bible study knowledge. Whatever it is, whatever God is calling you to, whatever you feel drawn to, make that step. Begin to utilize Scripture, this incredible gift that God has provided for us. Band's going to come and play their last song, and as they come, let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. God, more than anything, thank you for the Bible. God, thank you that you didn't just say, figure it out, good luck. But you gave us all the instruction, all the explanation that we need to know you, to understand your character, to sense your love, and to know how we can fall in love with you. God, help us to begin to take the book off the shelf and read it. Amen.